Mr. Speaker.
That's the voice of Maureen Breen, who retired last week as Parliament's Sergeant-at-Arms. Maureen was the second female sergeant, and we'll be hearing more from her later in the programme. Last week was the first week of a four-week adjournment, and although the absence of MPs and ministers meant the debating chamber was deserted, the corridors were as busy as ever as visitors came to see their House of Representatives for themselves. In charge of the educational tours of the House is Miranda Thompson from Parliament's Education Services.
So what we do is we deliver visits, they're pre-booked visits for any type of education group from primary right through up to tertiary. And in any given year we can put up to between 14 to 15,000 students through a year. So the education room here, the education centre, we've got it set out like a mock debating chamber. So we've purposely done that, so we'll describe the various roles, the role of the speaker, the role of the clerk, where government sits, where opposition sits, the whip's role, the function of the mace. We also can show them little video clips. We've got one of the sergeant being led into the house. So if they're not actually going to go and see it in action, they can see it here. And you know, it's also an opportunity for them to ask any questions as well. We do find that a lot of the groups that come through schools, they might be doing a particular curriculum study. And we do also have resources which we've developed, which we provide free to schools for pre- and post-visit work. So the idea is that it's not just a tour, it's not just a look around. It's actually, we've changed the terminology. We call it an education visit, and it is about learning about this place and how it works. So it's not just kind of a look around the buildings, it's actually a learning experience, often linked to the curriculum. The other thing that we can arrange for groups on request is that they can meet with their electorate MP. If they book a visit in the afternoon, part of the visit is spending some time in the public gallery watching Parliament in session, and that's actually usually quite a highlight for some of the groups because they've never seen Parliament live. Yeah, so we start here in the Education Centre. We have the presentation, we go through what all the functions of all the buildings are, then we put security stickers on and we start to walk.
Okay, well, we'll go on a bit of a mock tour, I suppose.
Yeah,
if that's all right.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so once we start walking around, we go to a number of venues. We do always bring them here to the chamber because obviously this is the jewel in the crown. This is the room that everybody wants to see. And we'll spend probably about 10 or 15 minutes in each venue. So we go to the theatreette, we go to the debating chamber, we go to the Legislative Council chamber, we go to a select committee room, we go to the library, we walk down the speaker's corridor. And so it's very much a sort of interactive experience. We don't just stand up and spout a lot of information. The way we kind of try to do it is that we ask lots of questions and we use that kind of question-answer technique to get the students to engage. And we find usually once they get started, it's very hard to stop them talking. So, for instance, here in the chamber, we talk to them about how often they meet here, how things are structured. So we'll talk a little bit about question time, what the purpose of question time is. Then we'll talk about things like the fact that we're a constitutional monarchy. We talk about the roles of the executive, what the government does, what the opposition does. We talk to them about the roles of the speaker and the clerk, and we give them an idea of where everybody sits. We also like to point out the fact that there's public galleries up here and that people can come and visit Parliament because this is their Parliament. So if they book in the afternoon, they can sit in the public gallery. If they've met with their electorate MP, we try and sit them on the side so they can look at their MP. They usually find that a real eye-opener. Sometimes they've seen a little clip of it on TV, but when they're actually here, they can kind of feel the atmosphere of the place. And then we'll often go, say, into the Legislative Council council chamber and have a bit of a debrief. So we'll say, what did you think of that? And we find that it really generates a lot of really interesting conversation. I mean, even if the students start out quite quiet at the beginning of the visit, they get all excited, particularly once they've been in here and they've seen it happening, and they've usually, you know, have a lot more questions to ask after that. So obviously sitting and watching Parliament in action is a really kind of powerful experience for them, and they may have never done it before.
And what about the select committees? Are they normally sitting when you take people?
So when we take them to the select committees, no, the rooms are usually empty. But we talk a little bit about the function of the select committee, and depending on the age group, one of the techniques I like to use is I like to throw out a mock bill and see what kind of a response that I get, and then say, okay, now if you were talking to the select committee, what might you say to them? So for example, I might say, okay, there's a bill before Parliament to shorten the school week from 5 days to 4. Who's for that? And of course, on the surface, it sounds quite attractive, but then the idea is we try and get them to unpack what the implications of that would be, and that so that they can understand that making a law is much more complex than just, oh yeah, that sounds good. You actually have to dig deeper and look at how, if that becomes a law, how that is going to impact on a whole variety of people. And once again, that's an experience that they usually get really into. And I often have to say to them at the end, now just remember, I just made that up. It's not happening. Yeah.
There's nothing stopping young people making submissions in real life either, is there?
Absolutely, absolutely not. And we do talk about that in the select committee room. We talk about the fact that it's one of the ways you can participate in the work of Parliament, and I give them often examples. I've used an example of two young boys who came and made a submission to a select committee discussing the laws around international drivers, mm-hmm. Because they were affected by that. We've used numerous examples of young people who have either presented a petition or have come and made a submission to a select committee. And a lot of them are really surprised that you can make a submission at any age. But we say that you don't have to wait till you're voting. You don't have to wait till you're 18 to start getting involved. And so we might say, number one, find out what's going here. Come and sit in the gallery. Find out the things that matter to you. You know, find out the things that you actually have an opinion about, or start forming an opinion about it. And then if there is something that you do feel really strongly about, find out about what you can do about it. I think it's a matter of young people understanding what they can do now, not wait till they're 18.
Yeah. School holidays at the moment, but it's no less busy for you, is it?
No, we take all sorts of groups. So, I mean, we've got university groups coming through. I just did a group this morning from Victoria University. We've had visiting people, so people who come from overseas, so it doesn't really slow down for us. We just get fewer of the school groups, but we get lots of other types of groups.
And you've got one coming through soon, so we probably should let you go.
That's right.
All right. Okay, thanks a lot.
Okay.
That was Miranda Thompson, the lead parliamentary educator for Parliament's Education Services. And a special feature of the tours around Parliament has been meeting up with the Sergeant-at-Arms, Maureen Breen, who spoke with Tom Fruin about her role.
I think that it's important for each sergeant to put their own mark on the tradition of the role of Sergeant-at-Arms. So I decided that I would meet the school children who come into the house in the mornings when the house is not sitting, and I meet them at the door with the mace, and I lead them in, and we put the mace on the table, and I tell them about the mace and about the running of Parliament. And if it's a small enough group, we might sit in the members' chairs, but that doesn't happen very often, and just generally give them an idea about what it's like when the house is sitting, because they're not going to be there in the afternoons, and I think it's good for them to learn a bit about the house.
Have you noticed a change in the knowledge of the children over time? Are they more knowledgeable about Parliament now?
Yes, they are. The thing that I really have been impressed about is the quality of the questions, the interest that they take in what goes on, and the interesting questions that they do ask about what would happen if the house wasn't going to be here in Wellington if we had an earthquake and we had to shift, all of those sorts of things. They want to know what happens when the ministers don't or the MPs don't behave themselves. They're quite interested and they know quite a bit about what goes on in the house.
What sort of incidents in the chamber stick in the memory?
Regarding the house sittings, the same-sex marriage law reform, that was a huge moment for, I think, New Zealand as a society and a big moment in the Parliament. Also, we had a dedication of the plaques that are on the walls. We had a dedication ceremony a couple of years ago for the plaques for Afghanistan, East Timor and the peacekeeping forces, and some of the members of the families of the soldiers who had died in Afghanistan were there. And it was a very moving but very wonderful time to witness. One of the really good things about having worked in the role of the sergeant is the interaction between the speaker and the presiding officers, and I have really enjoyed getting to know them better and them getting to know me better, and I think we've successfully managed to get the two roles to work very well while I've been here. It's a privilege to be in the Parliament, and it's also a privilege to have been able to develop that relationship and trust with the MPs and the ministers.
Well, they obviously enjoyed their relationship with you, because that standing ovation went on for nearly half a minute.
It did. I was very honoured. Yes, it did. But I do think that by me putting myself in on to be available for them to come to, I think that has. I did feel very honoured about how that went the other day.
That was on the Thursday before last, on the eve of this adjournment, when the Speaker, David Carter, took the opportunity before question time to farewell Maureen Breen and 15 other messengers and chamber staff.
Honourable members will also be aware that tomorrow a number of our chamber and gallery staff will be retiring. This is our last day to acknowledge this fact. Collectively, their loyal service totals around 180 years. I ask that members take this opportunity to acknowledge their contribution to us, to thank them, and to wish them well for their future.
And later on Thursday, in the few minutes before the House rose to start this long adjournment, Assistant Speaker Trevor Mallard added these comments.
We are losing a group of people who have worked with us and have been our friends, some of them for many years. I'm going to profess a lack of understanding of the economics of the change. I also want to note that over the years there have been some changes. When I was first a Member of Parliament, there was a messenger stationed permanently in the billiard room, which is now the Grand Hall, whose role it was to set up the tables. There were always odds and sods of members around and to play against the lonely members who couldn't find anyone else to play with. But the rules were, of course, that the messengers always had to lose. The other point which I have recounted to some of the people who are leaving is, in my first term, I used to act as a whip, and in the evening sessions, sitting in the chair at the Speaker's door was a messenger who, from memory's name, was Trevor. Trevor was a standing orders expert. Probably there were three or four members who were better experts than he was, Palmer and Cullen and Muldoon and McKinnon, but certainly he knew more about the standing orders and speakers' rulings than either of the speakers, and much, much more than the chairman of committee at the time. When I was taking or replying to a point of order, I would look beyond the speaker or the chairman to Trevor at the door, and when I was on the right track, he would just quietly nod his head, and when I was getting the standing orders wrong, he would shake his head and push me back in the right direction. So what I'm saying is that times have changed and times will change, but I do want to acknowledge an enormous loss, both of workmates and friends. Thank you.
Assistant Speaker Trevor Mallard. Only one select committee met during the week on Tuesday, with the Social Services Committee meeting in Auckland for submissions on the Social Security Legislation Rewrite Bill. That committee will also be meeting this coming week, also on Tuesday, for submissions on that bill, while the Local Government and Environment Committee, as well as the Māori Affairs Committee, will both meet behind closed doors on Monday. The week ahead will also see the House hosting the three-yearly Youth Parliament on Tuesday and Wednesday, and we'll have more on that in next week's programme. I'm Rhys Lyon, reporting for ParliamentToday.co.nz with funding from Parliament.